Hello, I'm Jean Pete, and I welcome you back to our show, Better Living. Better Living is brought to you by the Homestead Hope Foundation and is sponsored by Homestead Hospice, where commitment to education and premier hospice care helps patients and families through life's most important journey. Thank you for joining me again this week. This week I have another great guest. Actually, I should say guests. Today I bring you Dr. Bruce Edelstein, who is right here in Atlanta, 2045 Peachtree Road. Did I get that right?
You did.
Okay. And he is here with Sue Skipper, who is his professional relations coordinator and dental hygienist. Is that right, Sue?
Correct. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Before the show, I was noticing that Dr. Edelstein went to Ithaca College, and so we are alumni from the same college. We were having fond memories of thinking about the gorges in Ithaca and all
that.
Oh,
what a beautiful place. And I mentioned just now that I just went back a week ago for the very first time.
And it's beautiful up there.
It was great. This time of year, peak color, it was wonderful.
He got so smart when he went to Ithaca, he transferred over to Cornell to become a dentist. So you got that on me. So let's talk. How did you get involved? Let's talk about your background and how you decided this is what you wanted to do.
Well, I started off at Ithaca. I was an average student and got into Ithaca and got straight A's for 2 years and transferred over to Cornell. Graduated from Cornell with a degree in a major in biology and a minor in human genetics.
Wow.
And I decided during those years that I wanted to become a dentist. Ended up in Atlanta at Emory Dental School. And that was a great honor and a privilege. It was a great school. And then through that program, I realized that I really wanted to specialize in periodontics. And ended up at University of Pennsylvania for 2 years doing my specialty post-grad training in periodontics.
You were a professional student for a while there.
I was.
Tired just listening to your resume.
We're looking at 10 years.
Okay, so let's talk about periodontics.
Yes.
What is that?
Periodontics is the area of dentistry. Specialty of dentistry, I should say, and we focus on the foundation, the roots, the bone, the gum tissues. We treat anything from infections to congenital defects in the bone and gum tissues, and our specialty has evolved to dental implants today. Periodontal disease is of epidemic proportions, and I do want to talk about that as the show.
Me too.
As the show moves on.
Okay, so you're talking about the foundation. Really, that's everything.
Yes.
I mean...
And that's one reason why I went into periodontics. You can't build a house without a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that aspect of this specialty.
So you mentioned, not to leave you out, Sue, because we're going to get to you.
No, we're fine.
I've made it a habit of making friends with the hygienist at the dentist's office because it's not a lovely place for me to visit.
Aww.
And so I know the hygienist I want to go to.
We hear that a lot.
So let's talk about gum disease. Why is it so prevalent? Has it always been that way?
Yes. It has always been that way.
Okay.
And it's an epidemic. That's the plain and simple way to put it. It is an epidemic.
Okay, so why? Because that just makes me mad at dentists, I got to tell you. Really?
Well,
because we should have things when we're younger to prevent that when we get older.
It can be preventable.
It is preventable. You have to realize something. About half of the U.S. population does not see a dentist on a regular basis.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons.
So that's one reason. The other reason is really...
Okay, so just like every show, we are accountable for our own life.
Yes, right. Absolutely. That is one major reason.
Okay.
Another major reason is that it's painless. Periodontal disease is painless. There are some rather grotesque symptoms that occur, but most people blow it off and they don't seek help. The CDC just recently, within the last 3 years, did a major study, and for the very first time, they examined people on a more thorough basis than they were ever examined before. So periodontal disease, until recently, was underestimated. This recent study by the CDC, the information that was gathered from this study is that 70% of the adult population over age 65 has some form of periodontal disease. That is shocking.
Yeah. Is that getting worse or is that getting better? Is it edging down in age or are we making headway?
I don't think so. I don't think we're making anywhere near the headway we should. I don't let me start off by saying that I don't know that we can determine that because there aren't two studies over a period of time that where you can see that there's been a trend, because this is the first time that anyone did a study that where they did thorough exams.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the most current information we have as of maybe 3 years ago. I don't think there's enough treatment being done that is underdiagnosed and undertreated by the profession. And in addition to that, folks aren't going on a regular basis. So I don't think there's anywhere near enough periodontal treatment being done.
So, gosh, I have so many questions. So let's back up for a minute. Let's talk about the major periodontal diseases that you see.
Yes. The major periodontal diseases that we see are an infection in the gums. It starts off with a little bit of inflammation. It starts off as a bacterial infection in the gum tissues. And then the body mounts a very significant and exuberant inflammatory response. And then, it creates redness, swelling in the gum tissues. There could be bleeding upon brushing and flossing. If that is left untreated, it progresses to bone loss and tooth loss. And along the way, there are some subtle symptoms. There could be bad taste, bad breath. There could be shifting of teeth, migration of teeth. This is a horrific, disfiguring, on a local basis, problem. But what folks need to realize is a lot of information is emerging that tells us that this could be a true, horrible problem for the whole body.
Right.
There are higher rates of heart disease, heart attack, stroke. There is a very significant correlation with diabetes and periodontal disease.
Okay.
And there are a whole slew of other situations. There are adverse pregnancy outcomes that occur if a pregnant woman has periodontal disease.
And that would be someone who's younger. I would have thought it
would. That's a younger population.
That's prevalent in the younger population as well. Because here I am thinking 65, but really that's not the case.
No. Actually, over age 35, the same study determined that 50% of the population has some form of periodontal disease.
Okay, first of all, I have to tell you, you can't see me, but it's really hard to interview a dentist. I've got my mouth closed. I'm hiding my teeth. It's funny. Anyway, I digress.
You could run, but you can run, but you can't hide.
I will say I do go to the dentist religiously now because I went years and years
without going.
Bringing up the babies, taking
care
of everybody
common.
Else except for me. And if money was tight, my dental appointment got pushed back.
Very common.
That's common. And herein lies one of the problems, why it is so epidemic in proportion.
And I did have an infection. I got a nice little shot in the back of my gum. And then they told me it was better the last time. But does it ever go away?
Once
you get there, you can reverse it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Unfortunately, if people see a periodontist, the treatment rendered tends to be more thorough and curative. If they're being treated for this condition, periodontal disease, that is, by a general dentist, what we're seeing is that this condition is grotesquely undertreated by seeing just a general dentist.
So what is the treatment? What would the differences be then?
Well, there are different non-surgical treatments available. There are different antibiotic protocols available. And there are different surgical treatments that as periodontists we can deliver that the general office generally does not.
And when you talk surgical treatments in a mouth,
I
immediately think, okay, I'm going to lose my teeth and something fake's going to get put in there.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay. So not let's talk about the different treatments.
We can actually surgically regenerate the bone.
Huh.
We can regenerate the soft tissues and the hard tissues, and we can actually take teeth that have these chronic infections, and we could completely change their prognosis to teeth that have an excellent prognosis.
And these infections, they're not, you had mentioned, they go undetected.
Yes.
So you can have a raging infection in your mouth, and it doesn't hurt like when you have a fever and you have an infection running through your body.
This infection tends to drain. And if there's drainage, there's no pain.
Okay.
That's why an early sign may be bad taste and bad breath.
Huh. Okay.
Because that infection, when we look at the deeper pockets, they and we look at the bacteria, it's a terrarium growing down there. And it drains into the mouth, and there tends not to be any discomfort.
Sometimes, too, there's a condition that we call disease masking, where the tissues, to look at them, are pink, they're tight, but you start probing or gathering more data, like an x-ray, and there's bone loss everywhere. To look at the gums, you would never know that down below was lurking this condition.
And do you think there's a stigma to it? Because people, that's hygienic. I mean, that's your hygiene. You know, I know a lot of people don't like to floss. I will tell you, I'm
that's
one of them.
That's another reason it's an epidemic.
Yeah, and so, but the dang teeth back there are so tight. I feel like I'm ripping it's very uncomfortable. So
it can be frustrating.
Yes, I know. I'm telling on myself. It's kind of disgusting. But I have to think that I'm more the norm than outside the norm.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
I agree.
And so, you know, this show is called Better Living. And
yes,
if I have to share grotesque things about myself in order to make the audiences live better, I shall for you. Okay. So let's talk about prevention.
Yes.
So what can one do? And is there things that can be done to the teeth outside of going regularly to the dentist? You start when you're smaller.
Absolutely.
Yes. So let's talk about that.
Good, thorough brushing, mm-hmm, at least twice a day.
And there's differences in toothbrushes.
Yes.
Yes.
Because now it's not just don't buy that toothbrush at Publix or CVS or the drugstore. Y'all really like the round, like
they've gotten very sophisticated.
I don't want to say the brand, but
well, I mean, in our practice, we try one size does not fit all. There are a whole selection of toothbrushes available, and we really do try to figure out what is best for that patient. An electric toothbrush, which I think you may have been referring, mm-hmm, it is not good for everybody.
Okay,
and likewise, it may be perfect for a certain person. We really do try to get more specific than...
Okay, let's talk toothbrushes.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you've got soft, you've got medium, you've got hard bristles. What's best? You hear, if it's too hard, you're brushing the enamel off your teeth. If it's too soft, you're not getting in there and doing what you need to do. How do you know what the right kind of toothbrush
across
is?
Across the board, 100% of the time, soft is the safest.
Wow.
And the best. A medium and a hard, I don't even know if they make them anymore. 30, 20 years ago, you could find them. I don't remember the last time I saw the word hard or medium on a toothbrush box.
Wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. I mean, they may be available, but you got to look hard. And we don't stand behind them. Electric toothbrushes are fabulous, but they are not good for everybody. Extra soft. They market them with the words sensitive for sensitive teeth. Sometimes are what some people need. I use an extra soft because I have gum recession. If you have thin tissues, you are a candidate maybe for an extra soft. You got to change them more often. It's a different feeling, but you can still clean well, nice with a softer and extra soft. And that's where the hygienist comes in. Mm-hmm. They should be helping, training, and getting very specific.
Because these ones that are electric, and it just seems like, and I'm using it, but it seems like it's too hard for your
teeth.
We
have a tendency in our office, if someone has a lot of recession, to take them off of the electric toothbrush.
Huh.
It's too much. They not only are the electric toothbrushes doing their little spinning and vibrating, but then the patient will add their little hand
That's
scrubbing
right.
motion to it. Now you have double duty. I'm a dental hygienist. I've never owned an electric toothbrush, and I never will. They take longer to use. I can do a smart, spot-on, deadly aim job with whatever toothbrush I get free in the mail.
Yeah.
But I'm not anti-electric toothbrush. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's their lifesaver.
Really?
One size does not fit all. We really have to custom tailor.
I've just been given permission to go back to what I like better.
If it's working for you, get the feedback from your hygienist.
It's
working.
I just started it.
I'm a big believer, let's work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Let's work smart.
And then flossing is critical.
Ugh.
We're still on the subject.
Now I'm going to get on my soapbox.
Can we come up with easier ways to floss? Can we create some kind of technology to help
you know,
us out here?
If you know how, I'm a big believer, again, work smarter, not harder. It doesn't take that long. It's a piece of string. It's really cheap. And if you do it along with something else, if you watch the news every night, put it beside your chair. It's done. Don't stand in front of the bathroom mirror, especially women, Jean. I mean, we got to wash our face, take our mascara
like
off,
I'm
brush our teeth,
floss
pull
my
our
teeth
hair
in front
back.
Of the TV in front of people. That's not going to happen.
Well, I'm not saying do it at a dinner party, but if you're home by yourself,
yeah.
I floss when I'm sitting at my desk at work.
That's
of course, we work
true.
In a dental office. He brushes sure. his teeth in his office without toothpaste.
I do.
He does. He does a dry brush. It works. Works
that's
smarter,
awesome. I'm just
not
teasing.
Harder.
No, actually,
if you
that's
learn
a
how
good
to floss
idea.
Well, if you get the technique down, all of a sudden it's incredibly easy.
Okay, not to put anybody on the spot, but to put people on the spot. I have my assistant Kelly here. Are you a good flosser?
My brother's a dentist.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, I just totally set
but
myself up for failure
but
here.
I'm not. My dad is. I'm not.
Okay, and you, Kirk?
Like once or twice a week.
Okay.
Wow. We have
better.
A room full of patients here.
Yes, we do.
We have potential patients, Dr. Edelstein.
Yes, we absolutely do.
I wish
do.
We could take call-ins right now.
You know what?
It would really make me feel better to know that I'm not a bad patient.
The statistics
patient.
Match perfect. You heard the statistics about the epidemic. Mm-hmm. 3 out of 4 adults have gum disease. 3 out of 4 adults do not floss the majority of their days. They match perfect. If I'm going to say this one thing, and then we'll get off the flossing. If I knew he hears me say this all the time. If I knew I were going to be stuck on a desert island for 5 years, what would I pick? The electric toothbrush, toothpaste, Listerine, floss, anything. You name anything available for the mouth, I'm going to have the floss.
Wow.
That's the magic bullet.
Okay. Okay, you've motivated me
more.
To get better. I keep saying, well, if I rinse, maybe I can get away without flossing
no.
today.
No.
Nope. Wrong. Wrong.
Y'all aren't any fun. Goodbye.
We're unrelentless.
The manufacturers that have mouthwash would want you to believe that, but it just doesn't happen.
Everything's a marketing ploy. Dang, nabbit.
It
okay,
is.
So let's talk a little bit about floss. I know we want to get off this topic,
yeah.
but okay. Since 3 out of 4 of us are terrible at this,
yes.
what is the best floss? Because you know why we're terrible at it? It's hard to do. It's awful.
It
my
can
teeth in the back
be.
Of my mouth are so tight, it can't even get it in there.
For you, you probably would need a floss made of Gore-Tex, like Glide.
Okay.
And that again, is what one I have. Size does not fit all. They've done studies, waxed, unwaxed, fuzzy floss, yarn, string, cotton,
wow.
woven, wax, all of those. It really, again, the magic is not in that string. It's how the user uses it. But if you have to use a more slippery floss because you have to cut tight contacts, like a Glide, a Gore-Tex-based floss, that's perfect. But it's how you use it. If you were in my chair, I could show you perfectly how to do it.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Okay, so the string?
Yes.
Versus those little thingies that you buy in
the
packages.
String.
Okay.
The string. You can't, the little packages are better than nothing at all, but the string is, you
and
can
you
wrap
it, around
it where
your
you
fingers
need it.
And you get in there. I know, I try.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, you mentioned that lately, the past number of years, you've been going to the dentist on a regular basis.
Yes.
Have they ever sat down to show you exactly how to floss?
Of course they have. And then they say, Jeannie, do I have to go over this with you again?
Okay. Well, that's one step in the right direction.
But, and I always say, yes, I promise I'm going to be better this next 6 months. Can I just come every quarter? Can't you just do the job for me?
It doesn't work.
I know. I know.
It doesn't work like that.
I really wish I could have friends calling in telling me I'm okay right now.
You are in the majority. You are in the majority.
Okay, so we've talked about tooth brushes and we've talked about floss. Now I want to talk about toothpaste. Because I've heard some scary studies out there about toothpaste and that most of them are really not good for you. Is that true? How do we know what the best toothpaste is to buy?
I haven't seen studies that state that they're bad for us. I think one little study came out that those little cleansing
yeah.
beads were plastic and getting stuck in people's gums. We have not seen that in our practice. I don't doubt that maybe that didn't happen for someone. But again, back to toothpaste, one size does not fit all. I use the cheapest Pepsodent Simple Simon toothpaste. I like the way it tastes.
So there's no, it doesn't matter, you know.
No.
White.
As far as cleansability and preventing gum disease, not so much. Those commercials would love for you to think that those scrubbing bubbles are taking away this plaque. If toothpaste were that effective, 3 out of 4 adults would not have gum disease. I'm not anti-toothpaste. There's some good things in some of them. They're more sophisticated than ever before.
That's true.
But we have more people having reactions to these. Yeah.
And we're still getting gum disease.
If you buy the fancier toothpaste, you're paying 2 to 3 times what you would pay to buy the less expensive toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
And
we do like it to have fluoride in it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think that's important to
prevent
cavities.
With desensitizing agents, those are also helpful.
Yeah.
But they are not helpful. You will not see on a toothpaste box effective at preventing periodontal disease. Because it's not. It's not on
the
box.
Well, clearly, now that
I know
the statistics.
It will say gingivitis. That's something totally different. But it can't say it will fight and prevent periodontal disease.
Okay, that's a good segue. So what is gingivitis? Is that the precursor to the bad stuff? Or
typically it is.
Okay.
Gingivitis refers to inflammation of the gum tissues. And in some people, actually the majority of people, that can progress to periodontitis, where there tends to be, there can be bone loss. By definition, periodontitis means bone loss.
So you get the inflammation first.
The inflammation first.
Okay. So if you're younger and you're getting told at your dental appointment that you have the beginning stages of gingivitis.
Yes.
How can you prevent? Okay, I know you're going to tell me. You got
brushing,
floss.
Brushing, flossing.
You got it. You're a quick learn, Jeannie. All right.
And routine dental visits.
Okay, but here's my thing. If 3 out of 4 people are not compliant, the system isn't working. We got to create a new system.
A magic wand.
Okay.
It does work for the people that pay attention. For the people that listen. Let's put it that way.
For the compliant people. And I'm always on my soapbox for the listeners that listen every week. Yeah. I'm like, you've got to be compliant.
You know, the cardiologists feel our pain. If people would just exercise, follow a good diet, they wouldn't be so busy. I don't know. I don't know why we were born to have to take care of ourselves. But
my thing is, I don't know why we were born to have to work. Because if we took care of ourselves all day, that's a full-time job.
You're right.
Yes,
I know.
And now I'm flossing in front of the TV at night.
But you may not be seeing us.
Teasing. Who knew you could have so much fun with a dentist? And you have no idea. There's two places that I hate. There's two things on the body that I absolutely cannot stand. And one is the mouth and the other is feet.
Oh.
I could never be a foot doctor or a dentist.
Oh.
And my son told me the other day, I think I might want to be an orthodontist. I thought, oh God. Well, you go for it. Then I got another one that I'm going to be closing my mouth to. Anyway, again, we're talking to Dr. Bruce Edelstein and Sue Skipper. He's the gum doctor.
Yes.
Is that the gum doc?
The gum doc.
Okay.
Yes. That's our website.
My gum doc?
www.mygumdoc.com.
I'm sure there's lots of great information about a lot of the topics that we've talked about already on that website. Again, that's www.mygumdoc.com. And Dr. Edelstein and Sue are here today from 2045 Peachtree Road right here in Atlanta. But no matter where you're listening from, whether that's Phoenix or the Gulf Coast, Louisiana, where all of our shows air, this is great information. We haven't even talked about how taking care of your gums can affect the rest of your health. But do go to that website, get more information. I encourage and implore everybody to make an appointment and go to your dentist today. We have to take a quick break, but we will be right back.